Good morning, church. So our text this morning, which you can see, is going to be in John chapter 4. Very familiar text. But if you got the time later today, sometime this week, go in and read the whole chapter to get the whole context of everything as well. And so this was a text picked out several months ago. But yet, as the week comes on, and you know how we've said before that Bible passages appear that weren't obviously in there before because I never seen them, things of that nature. But yet, we're all very familiar with this one and the things that take place here. But it just as the sermon developed through the week, as events in the community and the church and other congregations and things, this message just started to become even more important to me and I hope to the listeners as well. But so as we even see this this morning, my wife, as we're always getting around in the mornings, listens to the Bible app, and John chapter 4 is what, as I started to listen, is where it was at. And I was like, man, that's great. That's going over the whole chapter, giving me a refresher this morning. And that's just where she was at and what she was listening to. And so, you know, as we think of this and this whole situation, immediately we think of Jesus as he's traveling with his disciples. They come to Samaria. Many times they travel right around there, around that area. I've heard preachers say, and I've tried to look up to find the accuracy of this, but for them to go around the area of Samaria out of their way would be like 70 miles out of their way. And they're not driving, mind you. They're walking. And so this is why it's interesting. This time Jesus decides he's going right smack dab into the middle of Samaria, and he ends up the lesson, and what we're going to look at here is the woman at the well. But as it's a reminder to us, and like I said, whether it's things going on, you know, going through the bulletin this week, I just couldn't help but notice friends and families and even members of our congregation, the list of, for example, the cancer list, just really growing. And that wears on our hearts and it wears on our minds for our loved ones or maybe even ourselves if we're struggling with that. Getting calls from other congregations that are having struggles or individual Christians that are struggling in their walk and needing to talk and needing help, knowing that there are people in the congregation here at Harlan that have those same struggles and difficulties. And as I continue to think of this idea and this whole thought of, you know, the struggle and the turmoil of life that this woman was going through, had no idea what or who she was going to come in contact with carrying out a normal everyday task. But as we know, as Jesus comes to the well and she comes to the well, they're there by themselves. For one, because she's there intentionally when no one else is there, because she's not cared for. People do know her past. And that's the wonderful thing about Jesus, is he knows each and every one of us and our past and loves us anyway. Can I get an amen? And so as we think of that and share with us what this was this was an, or at least as the week developed and the things going on, at least that I'm aware of, is that we're dealing with a hurting woman. And you know what? We are hurting people. We live in a fallen world, and there's words that we'd like to use maybe to describe it, but sometimes life just stinks. And I know this has been such a pep rally so far of a message, right? But what I want us to do is to set the tone to help us to understand maybe that's what needs to happen in each and every one of our lives, is that we realize that our life is only going to get better through Jesus Christ. Only going to get better when He gets involved in our life. But we have to want Him to. And so as we look at this, our text this morning is John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And it says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. And God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And this is one of those things, and we've talked about, and I've preached on this passage before, and I love to, I try to point out that we claim and we hope and we pray, and we're so proud that we've got the truth. Amen? Sanctify me in your truth, because your word is truth. John 17, 17, Jesus says to sanctify them in your truth. So set me apart with your truth. She talks about a mountain in which the Samaritans would worship. And she says, well, we know what you guys say about Jerusalem. And we know what we say about Gerizim. And we know what we've got all this. And we have these same conversations with people that we come in contact with. Right? We do. They're just on a little bit different level. It may be, so did you go to church this weekend? Yeah. Well, we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And some people say, well, we don't. We take it quarterly. Or we do it once a month or whatever. And so we have these conversations where we meet people that are doing church and they do it different than we do. And this is where Jesus says to her that we must not just do it in the right spirit, but in truth as well. And so we've got to have, and we, as I said, we like to claim and hold on to the truth. We love that. We're people of the book, right? And we preach the word, and if we just do that, everybody will come to Christ. The walls ain't bursting yet. And so even the church that has the truth needs to understand to have the right spirit, the right attitude. And so as we see this and we go through this, I want to start off with a snippet from a commentator. B.W. Johnson wrote People's New Testament Commentary. Probably most of you have got a copy of that in your Bible library somewhere. But he says, so the time is at hand, says the Lord, when a worship of forms or of holy places will not meet the demands of the Father. In other words, right away, he's rebuking, it's not about this mountain and it's not about this mountain. It's about this area right here. They will not meet the demands of the Father. He must worship the Lord with his heart. And when we say we're heart, we're not talking about the cardio, but we're actually talking about the cardio psyche is what we're referring to if you're, but anyway. Worship with the heart, in spirit, and in truth. Spiritual worship can be offered in any land, wherever the soul can humble itself before God. And that's why at times, maybe the best place to drop down is at the side of your bed. You know, we do get caught up in the building many times, and don't get me wrong, I think there's things that need to be set apart for this time, and we have this, and we respect those things. But at the same time, the Lord wants to know and wants us to know that He is with us all the time. And when we come to Him in spirit and in truth, there He is. That He wants to be there and help to bring us together. And so there's three things this morning, as tradition we have to do, you know, go through and have three things that we're going to look at. And the first one is seeking to be His worshipers. Jesus makes reference in this text that the Lord, God the Father, is seeking those to be His worshipers. Well, to me, I have a hard time just backing up one chapter then and seeing that Jesus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I thought God the Father wanted everybody to come to Him. I mean, Peter talks about He is patiently waiting for all to come to repentance. God also knows the reality of the situation. As He's waiting for all to do that, what He's wanting then is for those that'll say, I'm tired of playing games, let's get serious. Right? I'm tired of messing around, I'm going to seek You out. And I know that the parables have said this, and it's only probably because of my own denseness of mind that, you know, we always say we got to go out there and we're going to preach the gospel and we're going to win the world for Jesus. Not unless they've prepared their heart to receive the word. We have to have a people that's wanting to come to Christ. I fear that we're in a world today, especially in a nation, that it seems a little more difficult to get people to want to come to Jesus. So God is seeking those to be His worshipers. It's up to us to put that seed out there. We still have to plant that seed, cast that seed aside, throw it wherever. Sometimes it's going to grow and take root and do great. Other times, most of the times, something else is going to happen to it. But we need to be ready to have that opportunity. And that's where at the end of this chapter then talks about that, that the fields are white for the harvest and that the time is now. And if you also remember the disciples that went off to get food and they, you know, come back and it's like, I got food that you guys don't know of. And so, are we really seeking out the Lord? Is He, have we prepared our hearts for that message? We'll be having a guest speaker next week. Joe will be coming and speaking, Joe Hines. And so as we draw close to September 17th, which Josh had mentioned this morning, we're doing a family, friends, and neighbors night. We've got working on some flyers and different things for you to pass out, use for invitations and different things. Hopefully we'll have those ready for you next Sunday. You know, and trying to do some things to prepare our community's hearts to hear the gospel. Because again, I could go out and stand on the corner. We could go out and preach the gospel. And probably going to get some response of, hey, did you see that crazy guy out there preaching? Remember, there was a gentleman that used to do that every year over at the Grable Country Fair. And what would people say? Even people from this congregation. Did you hear that guy out there preaching? Yeah, so what did we do about it? He was preaching repentance. I'm pretty sure that affects everyone, right? And so as we look at that and we consider some things, let's preparing hearts. And at this time, this woman's heart was not ready. But Jesus is going to sow the seed and get her ready. And in doing so, we see that it affects the whole Samaritan community. Isaiah 58:2 says, yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. Right? Every church member does that. As a nation that has done righteousness, and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. We can do what needs to be done. We've got our sacrifices. We came this morning and met around the Lord's table, and we gave to the tithes and the offerings of the church. We've got the form down great, don't we, people? We even sang three songs, had communion, did the announcements, and we're all doing a three-point sermon. It's just the form that God has set in order. We've got it going on, don't we? But they ask me for just decisions, and they delight in the nearness of God as long as God agrees with us, right? And that's what it is, as long as God agrees with us. Not that we change our mind and agree with Him, right? As long as those things. And so as he meets the woman at the well and he asks for water and she brings him the water, and he talks about how if you knew who I was, you wouldn't have let me. There wouldn't have been time for me to ask you for a drink. You would have been asking me for a drink. All of a sudden, he has whet her appetite. And as she runs away, and he says, go tell your husband. She's like, what? You know, I'm just a single lady. I don't have a husband. He's like, yeah, you're right. And the five other guys aren't your husbands either. And so he just, right away, he met her with her sin. And what we need to understand is when we meet people with their sin, we meet them with their mortality. That they're not going to live forever. That when they die, they will go one of two places. And when you meet them with their sin, it gets real, real quick. And so that's what he's doing here, and he's sharing with her. And we see that she's kind of taken back. Well, if you sat down with someone and they started talking about all the sins in your life and everything that you've done, how do you think that conversation would go? She runs out. She's like, I gotta go. I'm gonna go tell all these other people that this guy has told me everything that I have done. And of course, they're all like, yeah, we know that, right? Because remember, the other women weren't at the well. They were at home talking about the woman at the well. And we do the same thing. And so as he looks at this and he's saying, you know, he's trying to prepare her heart for those that want to worship God. Jesus gives two reasons here for what kind of worship should take place. And I had never thought about this before until reading some of the commentaries and prep for this week. But one of the things, or the first thing that we see here in this idea of God is wanting hearts that are prepared, and His desire is for us to have the proper worship. Because it's not just about form. It's when I come together, when we're here this morning, it's not about, as we walk out the doors, it shouldn't be about, that made me feel great. It needs to be about, how was God pleased with that? That's what he's saying. And we have times we leave out of here so happy that just made me feel wonderful. That really got us fired up. But was it what God wanted to hear? What God wanted for us to hear. What God knows that we need to hear. See, she didn't hear something that would make her happy. She heard something that would change her life. And Jesus then intimates to her at this time that how we make God happy is by obeying what Jesus says. And he goes on then to remind her, as we move on, that God is a spirit. So when you pick on this mountain or that mountain or this congregation or this congregation, it's not about that. We even say the good place to start, and yeah, it is check out the sign. Right? But you can have the sign that gives God the glory and anything but goes on in the congregation. And anything but goes on in the meeting times. And so Jesus is telling her that God is a spirit, and we need to remember some things about that. It's not a bodily form. That it's different than we are. But see, Jesus understood that because Jesus, in the incarnation, became man. He put on humanity. See, for us to get closer to God, we have to put on Christ. For Christ to get closer to us, he had to put on man. To become that mediator. And so we're reminded, 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What Jesus is telling her is you are entangled, you are captive to your sin. And really, when he says this is so true, because when the point of our salvation happens to when we are saved, when we are immersed into the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then we have the Lord in our life as the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom. And that is when we rise from there, having clothed ourselves in Jesus Christ, arise to walk in the newness of life, that you will have true freedom. By being a slave to Jesus. And God is that Spirit. He makes those things happen. But see, what we see in our thoughts today is the Spirit is opposed to those rites and the ceremonies that we all hold near and dear to us. Right? What would have happened if we start out the service with the Lord's Supper? Absolutely nothing would change. Although there would be some that said, my heart just wasn't even ready. I didn't have time. Because obviously it takes three songs for your heart to get ready. Right? So my heart wasn't even ready. Well, if you're not ready when you walk through those doors, chances are you're not going to be ready no matter how many songs we sing. And Jesus is saying, get your heart ready. It's not about the rites or the ceremonies, but rather in your mind, your heart, your mind, your soul. Have a sincere attitude and a heart of prayer that glorifies God. So in other words, people, we are here today for Him. Get it out of your mind right now if you think you're here for you. Because as we already said, it's not about how you feel. It's about what makes Him pleased. God is a Spirit, and we need to remember that. And only those who have His Spirit, those that have been obedient to His gospel, can really, truly worship and serve Him. But we have a world around us that think they've got the Lord on their side. And that's where Satan wins on a daily basis. Because if Satan can have you think you're already saved, and that's where we have got a world. She says it's in this mountain that we get salvation from. And Jesus says it's not even from this mountain that you get it from. It comes from the Father in heaven. And only can you get to Him through Jesus Christ. It's not about the externals. It's not about the pomp and the splendor. And so when we said that Jesus said that there are two reasons for the worship, and the first one was, does it please God? Is it what God wants? The second one is it in spirit and in truth? In other words, it's not about the material things. I'd like to think that if this building would have burnt down overnight, we'd be out on the parking lot this morning having just as great of a church service as if we were able to sit on the padded chairs here today. In other words, things are going to go on in this life that stink. We're going to do things that we mess up on. Let's just cut to the chase. We're going to be involved in things that are outright sin. And Jesus wants for us to prepare our hearts to be with Him. And we need to remember that the Lord is pure and holy and does not dwell in a temple made by men's hands. He lives in our hearts and our minds. Which then leads us to our third point. The whole reason for this conversation with the woman is so that we get in our mind and she gets in her mind. It's not about this mountain. It's not about that mountain. It's about Him. That we worship Him. That we seek Him. That we come to the understanding that Jesus is the author of salvation. As she runs back to the community and she tells all the community, you've got to come see this guy. You've got to hear what he's talking about. He has told me everything that I've done. And isn't that a good thing? Go preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. But there's an exciting thing that happens here in the end of this passage that I think is very important for us here today as well. This is the response to the community. This is the response from the people that she is telling Jesus about. It says, from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified that He told me all these things that I have done. There are going to be those that come to Christ because we've told Him about Him. We've told them about Him. And that needs to happen. But so when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking Him to stay with them. Went on, stayed with them for 2 days. And He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of His word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. It's good if people obey, because I stand up here and I say, you need to repent, for Jesus is coming. You need to repent because your sins put Him on the cross. That's all well and good that you come to Jesus in faith. However, it's better if you open up the Bible and read it yourself. We have heard from Jesus, in other words, as we see in John 1, 1 and 14, that Jesus is the Word. Open up your Bible and let's see what the Bible says. So we came to Jesus because this woman told us, but we believed Him because of the Word, because He is the Word. If you ever convert someone to Jesus Christ because you told them to, then you've done it for the wrong reason. You convert them to Jesus Christ because they need a Savior, and He's the only one that can do it. Boy, we were surely interested when you were telling us about this one that told you everything that you'd done. But we believed in Him because of the Word. I've heard someone say before, if you want to convert someone quickly, don't use the Bible, use my book. Use God's Word. Convert them thoroughly to Jesus. So that it's not about this mountain, it's not about that mountain, it's about this piece of land right here between your ears. Be fully and totally converted to Jesus Christ. This lesson of the woman at the well lets us know that people are hurting. But you know what? Sometimes they want to hear the hard things. In fact, there's times we need to hear the hard things so that we put them aside, we put ourselves behind us, and we look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Him, will you bring all your pain, all your struggle, all your suffering, all your heartache, all your disappointment? Ask Him for a drink of the water which He can give you that will change your thirst forever. If you're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ, we urgently plead with you to believe in Him, that He is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then do our best to live faithfully for Him. And while we're doing this thing called life, we certainly do our best to let everybody else around us know what Jesus has done for you. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?